We will bow together in prayer as we come to the Word. Let us unite in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do praise Thee for the expectation that we have through the Gospel. We praise Thee for the lively hope that we have, for the assurance that we will be with Christ in that land that is fairer than day. And it's all because of Calvary, the bleeding lamb, the wounds that our Savior bore in bearing away our sin, making atonement for us, and opening the life gate to all who repent and believe the gospel. And we pray that this night Thou wilt draw alongside and bless the going forth of Thy word to the salvation of others. We pray that none will leave this house still building their lives and their hopes for eternity on sand, on a groundless foundation. We pray that Thou wilt in mercy bless the word and make it effectual in the salvation of precious souls. We thank Thee for these messages and song and Natasha who has brought them to us, and give to us Thy grace and enablement tonight to make the gospel clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and we're reading at verse 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honour all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. Amen. And we know the Lord will add His own blessing to the public reading of His word. David can say in verse 5, Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Today, life is replete with a great variety of gadgets. We live with many advantages over our ancestors. We press a few numbers on the phone, and we can talk to friends all over the world. Indeed, we can see them on our computer screens, talk to them, as it were, face to face by means of Skype. We press the computer mouse and our email goes to that distant land in less time than it takes to read it. The shelves in the shop are bulging with every commodity imaginable to make our lives easy, pleasant, labor-free. Despite all the benefits of life in the 21st century, we are told that society is in meltdown. It is unraveling. Go into the busy thoroughfares of our cities. Watch the throngs of people rushing past, and you see anxiety, care, worry etched on the countenances. When you read the papers, listen to the daily news reports, it is evident that many live aimless lives. They live lives without direction, purpose, or hope. So much around us is uncertain, unsure, hopelessness. We see it on every hand. David had many cares. He was surrounded by enemies, bitter foes. He had cause to pray in verse 4, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." In all of those trials that came his way, he had hope. His was not a hopeless existence. He can say in the words of our text, "Thou art my hope, O Lord God." He had a sure, a certain hope in the Lord. Have you? Is there someone here and you have no hope regards eternity, the salvation of your soul? You can be like David. Flee to Christ for refuge, for salvation, and then you too will be able to say, "Thou art my hope, O Lord God." Let us consider together, first of all, the absence of hope. To be without hope, what an alarming thing. The bottom falls out of the person's world when the doctor shakes his head and declares and says, "I'm sorry, but there's no hope." Spiritually, if you're without Christ, you're without hope. Paul, writing to the Christians in Ephesus, he brought them back to their unconverted days. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 12, Paul says, "At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." We see here how the apostle reminds them of how it was when they were unconverted. They were without Christ and without hope. Those two statements are inseparable. It follows, if you have no knowledge of Jesus Christ, of His saving grace, you have no hope. There is an entire absence of spiritual, eternal hope. But you object, saying, "My hope is built on my posterity. I have a wonderful family tree. My ancestors, you know, were church people. They were God-fearing people. I come from a religious background. And therefore, I hope that everything will be well with me. The Jews, they built their hopes on the fact that they had Abraham as their father. The blood of the patriarch Abraham, it coursed through their veins. And they rested their hope on their posterity. In John chapter 1 and verse 13, concerning the sons of God or the children of God, the verse says that they were born not of blood, not of the blood in the natural stream, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is the only way in which you can have a solid and eternal hope. It's through the gospel of God. It's through His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But others will say, my hope is built on my prosperity. Job cast away any such notion. In Job chapter 31 and verses 24 and 5, he says, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten much. Job, he had no trust. He had no dependence on fine gold, on great wealth, on what his hands had accumulated. The Lord taught, it is hard for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard that great truth, they were aghast. They said among themselves, who then can be saved? Money can do so many things for us. It can get you to many places. But money, men and women, will not take you to heaven. Souls are redeemed, but not with gold. They are redeemed, but not with silver. Redeemed only by the precious blood of the Savior. For others, their hope is in the parading of their own goodness. They steal a leaf out of the book of the Pharisees. And they say, God, I thank thee, I am not as other men. We think of the man in the Gospels who was found without a wedding garment. Oh, he was free from moral spot. None of the guests pointed the finger or raked up scandal against his name. The important thing to remember and to note is that he was without the wedding garment. He was without that which represented salvation. And as a consequence, he was bound hand and foot and cast out into outer darkness. The scriptures teach, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter heaven. All of these are groundless, empty hopes. They are Satan's deception. In Job chapter 8, the hypocrite's hope is mentioned in verse 14. Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. What a tragedy to have a hope for eternity that is just like a spider's web. So flimsy. So insubstantial. What a tragedy it is as you sit in this meeting that there is an absence of hope in your soul. You're like the man that dreamed. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 8, we read of the dreams of the enemies of Jerusalem. It shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth. Those enemies were as the hungry man that dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Those enemies were as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint. The enemies of Jerusalem were living in a dream world. Are you living spiritually in a dream world? Oh, awaken from your dream. Face the reality that before God you are without hope, perishing in your sinful state. But then secondly, we think of the author of hope. The religions of the world are void of any solid hope. We have the pessimism of Buddhism, the fatalism of Mohammedanism, the hopelessness of Romanism, forever paying to get the soul through purgatory. G.H. Morrison, the Scottish preacher, he said, in its radiant quality of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ stands alone. David says in our text, Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Paul, writing to the Christians in Colossae, in Philippians and Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, The hope, he speaks of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We're learning in these words that their hope is in the truth of the gospel. In other words, it is in the sacrifice of the cross. It's in the blood of the Lamb. Sin has shut the door to heaven against us, even as it shut out Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. But the Lord, the sinless one, our sins were made to meet on him. They were put in his account. They were borne to the cruel tree where he bled and died to pay the price of our pardon and to purchase eternal redemption for us. Paul, writing to Timothy, introducing his first letter to him in verse 1, he spoke of the Lord Jesus, which is our hope. The Lord Jesus is our hope. It's put in these words in Psalm 130 and verse 7, that Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. In Psalm 71 and verse 2, David prays to be saved from his enemies. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. He needed deliverance from his enemies. You need to be delivered, to be saved from your sins. We often sing those stirring words, I believe Jesus saves. He saves from the eternal punishment which we righteously deserve. He saves souls from perishing in hell. Christ is the author of the gospel hope. Will you leave the matter of your soul to fortune tellers, to chance, to some empty Christless creed? Hope is only valid when it is based on the Scriptures, and the Scriptures set the Lord before you as the Savior that you and I need. And then we think of the appropriation of hope. There is a sure hope in the gospel, but it must be appropriated. We can see that in our text. David is able to say, Thou art my hope, O Lord God. He is saying, My trust, my total dependence is on the Lord. He's my shepherd. He's my Savior. We go back to Colossians chapter 1 and in the verse 6, speaking of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you. Personally, these people came to the Lord, and they were saved. How do we come to the Lord? By repentance. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, speaking of Christ, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. You must repent. Break off with your sin. Turn with your whole heart from it. How do we come to Christ? By repentance, by faith. In Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 9, the Bible says, Be it known unto you, therefore, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe, all that trust, are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. It's by saving faith that we lay hold upon this gospel hope. Mr. Spurgeon was due to preach in Crystal Palace in London the day before the meeting. He went along to test the acoustics. He stood there in the great auditorium and he bellowed out the words of John 1 and verse 29, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. A workman doing repairs. He heard the gospel from that text. The words seemingly came from nowhere, but they changed his life and his whole eternity. David said that the Lord God was his hope and his trust from his youth. It's never too early to trust the Savior. Indeed, you have waited far too long already, whether you're young or old in this service. For now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And then we think finally of the assurance of hope. Gospel hope is not pie in the sky. It's not a dream. It's not a groundless optimism. There's a ring of sweet and blessed assurance in all that David has to say about the Lord and his trust in him. You will notice in verse 3, he speaks of the Lord as my strong habitation, my rock, my fortress, and verse 4, my God. He's not living in doubting castle. He declares in Romans, Paul declares in Romans 5 and 5, hope maketh not ashamed. Hebrews 6 verses 18 and 19 speaks of the gospel hope, describing it as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Oh, the ship will ride out the storm when its anchor is fastened to the rock. And when the soul is anchored in Christ, the rock of our salvation, then it will never perish. It will never be lost. Can you say, my hope, I have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Michael Faraday, a Christian scientist who discovered electricity, as his life ebbed away, journalists, they questioned him as to his speculations for a life after death. Speculations, he said. I know nothing about speculations. I'm resting on certainties. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and because he lives, I shall live also. The gospel gives to the soul an eternal, a lively hope. Paul can say to the Christians in Colossae in chapter 1 and verse 27, Christ in you, the hope, the guarantee. That's the meaning of the word. The guarantee of glory. This assurance, make it yours. May you come as you are, young or old in this service. May you come to the Savior and put yourself into this text and be able to say, Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. From this night onwards, you are my salvation, my guarantee of glory. What a wonderful Savior. What a great salvation. Do not neglect it, but come as you are and be saved. Let us bow together in prayer. As we're bowed in the presence of the Lord, if you're anxious about your soul and your need of peace with God and the assurance of eternal life, if we can be of help to you, we are here, your servant, for the Savior's sake. Speak to the person that you're with in the service or to the elders of the congregation. Do not go away on sinking sands. Come to the rock that was cleft for you at Calvary and hide in the wounds of the only Redeemer. Our gracious God, our loving Father, we do praise Thee in a world that is falling asunder, a world filled with fear and trepidation, in a world where so many have no certainty and no hope. We praise Thee for the lively hope that the gospel brings to precious souls. And we pray that this night, men and women, boys and girls, young people will linger no longer in a Christless state. We pray that they will flee from the wrath to come. For Thou hast said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." O, bring precious souls to Thee this night. May others taste and see that the Lord is good. May they come to know the blessing of sins forgiven and peace with God through the Prince of Peace. Give deciding grace, part us in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.